You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried out a free trial yet, go to builtforthestage.com. We'll be on our way to 7 days of working together on an online fitness app where we'll marry your pursuit of a career in theater with a pursuit or a journey or a life in fitness. Say hi. Go to Instagram at Built for the Stage. DM me. Would love to chat. If you DM me, let's say DM me your favorite ice cream and it will enter you in for a chance to win some free swag. My favorite ice cream is probably like some Ben and Jerry's crazy peanut butter marshmallow concoction. They have all those cute names, so I don't even know what it's called. But if you have a favorite ice cream, DM me at Built for the Stage, and it'll enter you to win some free swag. Special thanks to Broadway Podcast Network. Check them out at bpn.fm. All right. Special guest today. Woo. We've been through it with some tech issues. Welcome to 2022, the world of Zoom, even though we're not on Zoom, but it's kind of a unanimous type of phrase or brand that you can just kind of like Kleenex, you know? Instead of a tissue, it's just, can you pass me a Kleenex? Zoom. Anyways, our guest is based out of Chicago, but they're currently in Pennsylvania. Good old Pennsylvania. And they are performing at the Fulton Theater. I've actually been there once a long time ago. I'm an old man, but beautiful theater. They're currently in the production of For Color Boys. That is a world regional premiere. So it's always exciting to have some new works floating around as opposed to, you know, another good old movie musical. So I love to chat about new works. They just opened on September 8th, and they're going to be running through the 25th of September. Please welcome to the podcast, Namdi Wanko. Hey, Namdi.
Hey.
Appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for battling through the tech issues with me.
That's how it goes these days. It's all kind of tech forward in this sort of new normal.
Well, let's loosen it up a bit. Let's do a hot seat. So some of the questions will be like, you know, your opinion or your liking. Some of it will just be like factual. So here we go. Hot seat, quickly as you can. Where are you originally from?
Houston, Texas.
When was the first time you performed on a stage?
Probably the third grade. I was Christmas tree number four.
Oh, we're going to get into that for sure. Have you ever had any pets?
Yes. I had a Dalmatian mix whenever I was a young kid. And then I currently have a lab German Shepherd mix now.
Okay. Name? What's his name?
His name's Django.
Django. All right, cool. What's your favorite ice cream?
My favorite ice cream is probably Ben and Jerry's The Tonight Dough.
Okay, so you know the name. All right, I'll look it up. What was or is your favorite musical or play or theatrical production that's currently running or used to run? Anyone you want.
Let's see. Sort of my all-time favorite is Lion King. My current favorite is Hamilton. And yes.
Okay. Where did you do any of like your training for acting or singing or anything like that?
For undergrad, I went to a little school in East Texas called Stephen F. Austin State University. Go Jacks. Or we say Axum Jacks because we're the Lumberjacks. Okay. And then for grad school, I went to University of Colorado Boulder. Sco Buffs.
There we go. Boulder, Colorado. What a beautiful place. I've been there twice.
Yeah, love the mountains.
yeah, love it. Mountains are nice. Yeah, so now you're in Pennsylvania. You reside in Chicago. We're talking a little bit about the architecture. What's your favorite thing? You just moved in June, you said. What was the favorite thing so far you've experienced in Chicago?
I really just like walking around downtown. I really, really want to go on an architecture tour. Just haven't had the time yet. But maybe when I'm back in October, my wife and I will finally do that. But yeah, just kind of walking around downtown and just taking in the city. It's still like I've been there a handful of times, but it's one thing to visit a city, but then live there and then try to just take in all the new things and find your favorite coffee spot, find your favorite brewery or bar.
Yeah. Awesome. The name is blanking. London House Rooftop. Have you been yet?
I've not. It's on my list of things to do.
Yeah. I hit up a bunch of rooftops. I'll have to give you a list from where I went. They all were amazing. All right, back to our hot seat. You can choose two options. Either your favorite song that's always on your playlist constantly, or the last song that you listen to.
Favorite song that's always on my playlist is Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder.
Okay, we'll have to put that in the description of this episode so we can all check it out. Last question for you. If you were to do anything else besides being a performer, what would you do? Not that it's like a plan B or anything, just like a fun little game.
Yeah. Probably sports medicine.
Okay. All right. Let's have that be our segue. How come? Tell us more about that.
Well, I've been an athlete for most of my life. I grew up playing soccer and football. And I actually started my undergraduate career in pre-med because that's just when you're Nigerian, that's just kind of what you do. You're either a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. And I opted for medicine at first, wanted to be a neurologist. But really kind of just fell in love with theater later on in high school and tried to fool myself into thinking like, okay, yeah, no, we'll go down the doctor route. That'll be fine. But just really, really missed the theater. So I ended up making a career of that. But if I have downtime, like in a summer or in a fall or something, and someone's running a city league for softball or for soccer or something like that, I'm always in it. So I'm still very much in sports when I can be. And that if I weren't doing theater, then sports medicine would be sort of like a perfect marrying of sports and then the medical career that I did not have.
Got it. Was that a little bit more of a serious question? Was that tough to talk to your family about that? Like, hey, I don't want to do this doctor thing anymore.
So, no, actually, I thought it would be. It was a very easy conversation because, I mean, theater means a lot of things to a lot of people. And I mean, for me growing up, I was very like, I don't know that outgoing is the right word. I've always been likable, but so I knew a lot of, and you know, like in school, there's like cliques, there's the jocks, there's the book nerds, there's all of that. I kind of was like, could be put into every little group,
yeah,
but never felt a true sense of belonging in those groups until I started doing theater. And just kind of like my dad came and finally saw me do a production towards the end of high school. And he was like, he's lighting up in a way I haven't seen in a long time. So I'm gonna sit back and wait and see what happens with all of this. So when I called him a year in to college to say, hey, I don't think I want to do medicine anymore, I think I want to switch to theater, I literally remember pulling the phone away from my ear, ready for him to just lay into me. But I just hear him go, okay. And I go, hold on. Okay, I just, one more time. This isn't a trick or a trap or anything. You're cool with this. So it was actually a really straightforward and really great conversation. My dad's always been super supportive of the things that I do. Because I don't know, when I'm a very indecisive person by nature. So when I decide I want to do something, it's like, oh, he must really want to do this because he actually made the decision to do so. So,
yeah. Oh, I could relate to so many of the things. I played 3 sports and did theater and choir. And I kind of was a bridge per se between those groups that you talked about in high school, you know, like, I would have the football players eventually audition for the school play, and they'd be in the front row watching it. And yeah. But I can't relate to telling my parents that I don't want to be a doctor anymore. What a huge transition, but amazing to you for like just following your passion, because a lot of people, you know, they just kind of go along with life and the boxes that they're supposed to fit in, and live a life that's not as fulfilling as it could be. All right. So you're in Texas for your undergrad. Yeah. And you're studying now to do theater, and then you end up going to Boulder. What did you study again in grad school?
In grad school, I studied vocal performance.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, nice. So what do you prefer, singing within like the nature of a musical, or would you rather just be doing a concert of some sort? What do you prefer?
I don't know that I have a real preference, actually. I really just kind of like, I gravitate to art that like sort of speaks to me. I know that sounds like really frou-frou, but like, I'm just like, if it's something that speaks to me, that it's like, wow, I love this. Do people know about this? If not, then I want to share it with them. And if they do, I want to share it with them again, maybe with a new perspective. And so, I mean, I guess if I had to say, I've recently enjoyed doing more musical theater than I have opera or concerts of the last couple of years.
Yeah. And vocal type, tenor, baritone, bass?
Baritone.
Yeah, you got that rich, you got that richness in that voice.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song to sing?
Oh man, there are so many. As of late, it's been any audition I've gone into, and they're like, oh, just sing 16 bars or 32 bars of something. I'm like, all right, then you're gonna get Make Them Hear You from Ragtime, because I can just rip that one out no matter how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so through this process of finding the show and being cast in the show, Colored Boys, was that in person? Was it a submission? How did you end up being a part of the show?
So the story is actually kind of crazy. Brian Keith Wilson, our director and choreographer and the writer of For Colored Boys, he actually found me on TikTok. I mean,
no.
Yeah, no. It's like, which is just, you know, crazy. All the things that like TikTok has been for so many people in the last like 2 years, it's risen to power, if you will. And like, I'd gone and seen Choir Boy at the Steppenwolf Theater. And I had made a TikTok about it, just, you know, about the Steppenwolf's production and like how everyone should go see it. And Brian came across that TikTok and was like, oh, okay, well, let's see what he's talking about. And then I kind of checked out the rest of my socials and whatnot and said, oh, okay, he's an actor too. And I post a lot about, you know, about doing new works. I'm really gravitating towards new works right now. So he reached out to me I try to keep my email and whatnot in my socials. And he reached out to me, and you know, we chatted, and then he asked me to audition, and then the rest is history.
Wow, amazing, crazy, cool, very cool story.
Yeah.
So now that you ended up at the Fulton and you're doing this project, tell us a little bit about the show. I mean, I have the breakdown on it here, but I think that your words will be a lot more meaningful than just what's written on a page. Tell us a little bit about it, and also just like what it's meant to you to be a part of it, because it definitely has a message of extreme substance and an important one.
Yeah. So for Colored Boys on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, Freedom Ain't Enough basically explores the full compendium of the black male experience. And even to say the full compendium is not even super accurate, because there's so many different experiences that it's hard to fit into just one. Yeah. one 90 minute to 2 hour long show. But Brian's done such a beautiful job in doing that, and that so many experiences have been captured. And just, you know, what it means for me, it's kind of ridiculous. So I play Man in Orange, and each of the colors mean are different colors within like the Pan-African colors. And, you know, so some themes for Man of Orange are being adventurous, being a risk taker, being a leader and whatnot. And there are a lot of ways that resonate with that. Man in Orange is also definitely a character who lives with anxiety, and I resonate with that as someone who lives with anxiety. And just there's a piece towards the end called Mental Health Day, where it's basically Man in Orange just seeing everything that happened with the events that happened on January 6th, and kind of just saying, I need to take a mental health day, because, you know, it can feel kind of ridiculous with everything going on in the world sometimes to like, okay, well, you know, gonna get up and go to my job and, you know, do this report and turn it in and try to act like this day is normal when it feels like everything is burning around me. Mm-hmm. And so it really, really kind of dives into that like, yes, technically, we as black folk are free, but there are tons of systemic issues that really don't make it feel like that.
Yeah.
Many a time.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Between the five of you, do you interact on the stage, or are they just solo stories? Tell us a little bit about how the five characters intertwine, if they do, throughout the story.
So there's a lot of interaction. We kind of go through time, starting as far back as the slave trade, as the passage. And then the slave trade, and then going to emancipation, and then going through Jim Crow era, then the civil rights era, all the way up until today. We're kind of going through time and we play these different iterations of pretty much the same person throughout history, and just watching how, you know, yes, we've come a long way, but we still have an incredible amount of work to do. But yeah, the characters interact in many ways. One of my favorite scenes in which we interact is sort of, it's the 1960s, and you know, we're going out to this place called Menifee's Cafe down in Galveston, I believe, and we all get together and we dance and we have a good time. We're trying to get us some ladies and everything. So like. I've really appreciated working with all these talented men. It's like, it was a very quick brotherhood forged.
Nice. Okay, so that was going to answer my other question, where I was going to say, oh, so you probably play a lot of different characters, but from what you said, it sounds like you remain the same, but you're kind of immersed into a different place and time.
Yeah, pretty much. Like we're still always slightly different according to whatever time it is, but for the most part, our core attributes still kind of shine in each of these periods, which kind of speaks to and Brian can explain this so much better than I can, but it kind of explores concepts in post-traumatic slave disorder and how that that ripples through time, that you know, also because when you just look at the time, from the civil rights era to now, it's only been about 50 years. You know, there's still people alive today that, you know, were in that time. So like it's also to just show that, like, you know, it's been a long time, but it also hasn't been that much time. And there's still the vestiges of that trauma and pain, even in us today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have much to say about it, but I wouldn't say it's my place to say it, but just like the whole 50 to 60 year thing that you just brought up is wildly overlooked. Wildly. So I'll just say that about that issue. In regards to the production, it's a different style of production than we would normally see. No, I've read that it's a choreo poem of a piece. Can you go into that a little bit more for listeners that aren't as familiar with it?
Yeah. So the concept of the choreo poem was originated with Four Colored Girls. With Intozaki Shange. And the choreo poem it intertwines all these concepts of spoken word, of acting, of singing, of dancing. All of these are just intertwined and married together. And like the only way I could say it is that the show dances. It like, not only do we dance, but just as you move through it, the whole show just dances. It's kind of the root of it.
I might be assuming wrong. Sounds like, do you ever break the fourth wall as well in the show?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're, I feel like we have it staged in the round. So I feel that like it's, you kind of have to, especially with the audience being right there for us. And we very much, look at, we've said many times in rehearsal that the audience is our sixth cast member.
How's that from show to show? You know, I've been in a couple where breaking the fourth wall is a part of it, and I know that there's an art to it in itself, where you truly have to give what the audience is giving you. Is there certain nights where it's different than others, or is it pretty much, how's that experience?
Well, I mean, just the nature of this production, we're confronting a lot of, you know, of America's gruesome past and present, quite frankly. And it's a lot to sit with. And like, there's still one of the things I love about it is it's not just like pure trauma thrown at you for, you know, 2 hours. There's still a lot of moments of like just black joy that we get to exhibit, which I feel is not often seen on the stage or in television. But I think we do it well, and that the whole point of all of this is to start a conversation. Why do you feel uncomfortable? Why do you feel called out? Let's don't shy away from that. Let's maybe lean into that a little bit more and figure out what are the things within you that are making you feel uncomfortable, that are making you feel called out, because that's where it all starts. That's how we can then begin to have a conversation. Yeah. and heal the wounds.
How has attendance been as far as culturally, race-wise? Has it been a vast audience? Because it's important for people not of color to obviously be in the seats, you know?
Mm-hmm. Lancaster is a predominantly white town. So by nature, our audiences have been predominantly white. But I feel that, and exactly, it's this show is for everyone. There's a lot that, you know, I think there's a lot that anyone can take away from this. And like I said, it's all meant to just begin a conversation.
Yeah. For younger people of color that might be listening, you had mentioned previously that Lion King was one of your favorite shows. I've had a few of my previous clients or people on the podcast of color say the same thing, because you are, you're represented up there, obviously. So it's impactful, especially if you saw it at a younger age. What does this show, Colored Boys, bring that directly speaks to the younger generation of color and how they have a place in not just theater, but in society, you know, in general? Let's rewind to saying, hey, Namdi, you saw this show as a, 13-year-old kid. You know, what does this show bring to the younger ones that are in attendance?
Yeah. I think that, like, for younger people of color coming to the younger people of color coming to the show, they can take away that, you know, at least my takeaway from it has been that you are loved, you know, even though there are a lot of people in society who would like to say otherwise, you are loved. There's a piece at the towards the end where it talks about that very thing, that like, you know, that, you know, we've got to first love ourselves, you know. That's kind of like the heart of it all, and then love ourselves, and then we can begin to love each other, because at the end of the day, love is the power that wins. I mean, we get to see that in so many other iterations in theater and film and television and whatnot, that like love is such a powerful thing, and if we just keep spreading that, then we can have a much more beautiful world than we currently do. So, I mean, for me, I've gotten a lot of inner child healing through this. There are a lot of parts of, I grew up in
Texas.
In Texas. I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, a lot of predominantly white spaces. So there's a lot about myself, about my blackness, that I was taught to be ashamed of or hate even. I've done a lot of inner child healing previous to this, but I'm just reminded, like, yeah, all those parts of myself I used to be ashamed of, I love even more today.
Awesome. Let's we'll do one more serious topic because I suffer from it as well. And many do. You had brought up someone that goes through that. You're someone that goes through anxiety. How do you live with that in that dance? Obviously, we can't fight against it. It's happening. It's real. How do you address that on a day-to-day basis? Coming from someone who goes through that experience, and I'm sure there's listeners as well that also have these areas in our life to dance with.
Yeah. For one, I have my dog that I mentioned earlier. He's my ESA, and I take him everywhere I can. And just it's really being for me, it's being half the battle is like knowing and just going, having gone through counseling and therapy, how do I interact with the world with this? I know that like I'm more introverted a person by nature. So, and it's, which is, you know, so then diving into a career like theater, which is just very extroverted by nature, is kind of this like, you know, this crazy thing to do, but just kind of like knowing myself and like, okay, when do I need to step away? How much energy do I have today? Am I able to show up in a real way for myself, for others, for this production? Do I need to kind of take a step back and recharge? Just really, really knowing when I need to verbalize, hey, I need space right now. I'm an internal processor. So I need a second to like step away and this just kind of process this for myself and go back, cuddle with my dog, kind of focus on another task, just to get my brain away from it for a minute. But yeah, that's kind of how I walk through right now.
Yeah, nice. All right, thanks for sharing. Let's rewind to the very beginning of you saying your first theatrical experience was in third grade as, I think you said, like tree number three, or what did you say?
Yeah, it was, I was like tree number four. It was like, it was elementary school. We were putting on a Christmas show. I had to wear like this like green jumpsuit, and then like wore like a wood cutout of a Christmas tree, and I had one line, but I milked that line because I got handed the mic. I don't even remember what the line was anymore, but I say the line and I just kind of like look out at the audience after saying it, like, yeah, I did that. And then the next kid, tree number five, is like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to pass this mic on. So yeah, thus was the beginning of the embers of my performance career.
That day was the day a star was born. How about fitness? You obviously have an active background. You like to work out or do any like classes or go to a gym, or what do you like to do for moving around a bit?
I do. I love the gym. The gym is kind of like a second home. Currently I like lifting, just because I don't know. I spent a lot of my life growing up of being kind of scrawny, and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. Few years back. So I started lifting, and I've been really enjoying that. It's kind of like, that's actually another way that I deal with my anxiety. I just by going and working out, it's kind of like, it's something I can focus on. I'm like, oh, okay. I have goals that I can work towards. I'm like, okay, I know that I'm at little humble brag here, but like I'm at 315 in my squats right now. What do I need to do to get that extra plate on there? Or do we want to go for the 405? Yeah. And then just like, you know, taking the necessary steps there. It also, in a way, it kind of gives me an excuse to eat. I'm like, okay, I know I'm bulking right now. So I'm still trying to be good and eat clean for the most part. But like, I'm like, This is an excuse to eat, because that's another one of my favorite hobbies is just eating. So
same here. What's one of your favorite foods? What do you like? Healthy, unhealthy, doesn't matter. What's like your good? For me, I'll break the ice. If someone asked me this question, I'd say donuts all day, every day. Love me a donut.
For me, I mean, like Nigerian food's a given. I will eat that any day, every day, all day.
Educate us. Tell us like a couple of like the stapled Nigerian dishes.
Okay, so a couple staples. You've got jollof rice, which is just sort of it's a West African style rice. Don't even get me into the argument as to whose rice is better. I'm going to say it's Nigerians hands down. So for any Ghanaians listening or any Senegalese folk, I don't want to hear it. Our rice is the best. But it's basically a rice that's like sort of like tomato based. You make this puree, right? This tomato based puree with tomatoes, bell pepper, onions, a little bit of garlic, some Scotch bonnet peppers. You make this puree and then you cook the rice in that and just soaks it all up. And oh my God, it's so delicious. Then you've got one of my favorites is egusi soup. And I was like, there you kind of got this like, egusi is like a kind of a melon, and you mill that into flour that you could then add to this soup. And you eat that with this, you can eat it either with this, I believe it's pounded yam, also called a fufu, and you could like take that, dip it in the soup, and everything. We could have a whole other podcast about that, really. Those are two staples.
All right, very good. All right, well, hey, I appreciate your time, Nnamdi. Thanks for that patience in the beginning on our little tech issues. Everyone that's listening, if you want to get to know Nnamdi more, just head on down to the caption of this episode. You'll find his Instagram handle. You'll find more info on shows he's done in the past. And if you're in the area, in the Pennsylvania Lancaster area, go check out the show. It's running until September the 25th, Colored Boys. Check him out on the gram as well. And just support the show in any way that you can. Nnamdi. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you.
Thank you. This has been really fun.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Joe Roscoe here with Built for the Stage. Don't forget, if you want to DM me your favorite ice cream, it'll enter you for a chance to win some free swag. And yeah, it'll make me all the more hungry than I already am. So until next time, actors or athletes, train like one.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.